Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Kurt Hunt, CEO and founder of S3 Productions, and we're on Zoom today to do a very interesting show. At least I think it's interesting. It's my first actual book review. And I want to thank Armando F. Sanchez of Armando F. Sanchez Productions, who is once again serving as my guinea pig, my test case, to tell me what I'm doing right and what I'm doing wrong, because that's why he's here. And with that, thank you very much, Armando, for joining us as I experiment with mass media again.
Sure. Thank you for having me as your guest.
Well, I got to tell you a little story. We're going to actually review a book. But before we do, I was working on my van, putting in a camera system and a CB radio system, and doing a lot of head scratching about how to do this, because there's no book really tell you how to do this. And so I found this book called Thinking Like a Rocket Scientist. And this is one of those books you find at Dollar Tree on the dollar clearance rack. You know, well, I worked at JPL for 6 years amongst a bunch of rocket scientists. And we have a mutual friend who works at Aerospace Corporation, who's a rocket scientist. And I thought, gee, I could read this book and maybe learn to think differently. In reading this book, I won't say this is a cure-all. I will not say this is a cure-all for me, but it helped me tremendously working on my van, because it gave me insights that I didn't have beforehand. And that's kind of what I wanted to talk about. Armando had read the same book, and he said, well, that's a really cool book, except he found some flaws in the logic. What a great idea. So anyway, the purpose of this whole thing is to sort of talk about this book. And I run a Facebook page called Shop Teachers, and I use Shop Teachers quite liberally. But I'm hoping that by at least making people aware of the book, that maybe somebody out there in social media land might go, aha, I never thought of that. You know, and if I can do that, that's all I really wish to accomplish. So with that, Armando, I'll open it up to you and let you have first shot at it and tell me what you think.
Well, you know, I have most, I'm critical about the book. There are several things in here and I'll mention those. First of all, I think there is value in reading any book. You know, whether at the end I close it and I say, oh man, that book sucked, you know. I think there was still a value in the process. I'm sure one picks up tidbits of information. Yeah. So there is no such a thing as a total loss. And I want to say that up front. What I was sort of finding through the middle of the book, as I was progressing, is I thought, wait a minute, there's two things that really stood out in my mind. Number one was, if you're not in a world like you have been so many years at JPL, this book really doesn't make a lot of sense to me. You know, if I had been working at NASA for 10 years and I read this book, I thought it's a reminder for me for a lot of things that I benefited from, you know, working in NASA, working with the huge amount of very professional people that work there and benefited from their thoughts. And this brings it all back. So I'm sure it may have had that impact on you. It's the second point that bothers me, is that he speaks a lot like he's done it by himself. I don't see him crediting the organization and the mass amounts of people around him that helped him to think like one, because this is a very complex world. You know, building being a rocket scientist is very complex. From mathematics to engineering to, you know, breaking out of the box thinking. But you don't do it alone. You do it in a community that's very large, very heavily professional. You have to access information very quickly, have to be a quick learner. And I don't see him crediting that. You know, he just mentions a person here, person there, person here, person there, research here, research there, and then himself. But I don't think he credits the entire body of knowledge to make rocket scientists possible.
Well, I must have missed that part, but it's interesting you talk about relying on others or seeking help or crediting others. Part of the ham radio group I belong to, there's a bunch of us old guys that get together at the local McDonald's and have coffee in the morning. And I found that having a research body of a bunch of old guys having coffee, right, believe it or not, has a value of going, I have this problem. How do I solve the problem? Right. And then, you know, over coffee, you come up with at least a direction to solve the problem. So right here and right now, I want to credit Ernie, Don, and Josh, and all the rest of these guys who have been my advisory board.
Right.
The ideas may not have worked or not, but they led to something else, you know. But I must have missed that part, you know.
Yeah, well, from the very onset, it's like, you know, like I said, I went like, wait a minute. If I was in a circle of these kind of people, I could solve a lot of personal problems mechanical wise, you know, like you said, your electronics at home, your electronics in terms of your radios and all that. Well, I just go back to them and ask them, you know. I know my dad did that when he was working in aircraft. He would go back and I said, Dad, blah, blah, blah. He said, I don't know, but let me ask my buddies. And then they come back to 3 days. Oh, okay. This is what we thought of, you know, because they had the mindset of that. And that's the problem with this, that if, first of all, I don't have that mindset. I don't have access to these people.
No.
I have access to you and to a very small core of people, very bright people. Monica being one that comes out, Manuel being another, and et cetera. We have a core of networks. But, you know, in that sense, I did not find this book beneficial because once it started to do that. However, having said that, I'll say that I went back to the title and then I found it useful to switch the title. As you can see, I wrote all over it.
Yeah.
Just think like a teacher, think like a spy, think like a banker, think like a rich person, and then say, okay, if you're going to take this new route, as he said, rocket scientist, then I started to say, well, I like the idea. I like the impulse of following that train of thinking. Now I've got to find myself, if, you know, let's say a teacher, well, then I need to start reading and talking to teachers and acquiring a network so that I gather this kind of information and be able to access it and network it as I'm going through my career.
Well, you know, you talk about being a teacher, being both retired teachers. And one of the things that I'll never forget, and I may quote this wrong, I'll never forget this, was, how dare you not follow our scripture program step-by-step method for teaching critical thinking? You're thinking, wait a minute, you know, how dare you not follow our step-by-step free program, you know, lockstep method for teaching critical thinking. And I, you know, this book sort of reminded me of, hey, sometimes you just got to do out of the box thinking and look at it from a whole nother process. Mm-hmm. And that was one of the first things that struck me about this book, that, wow, okay, you know.
But, you know, these people are building a multi-million dollar rockets. Someone doesn't just come up with their own idea and goes out and does it on their own and says, you know, I'm going to plug this into the system.
Yeah.
I mean, it's got to go through a lot of people, you know, sort of balances out. How does this connect to somebody else's work, or whether it be metallurgy or whether it be scheduling, you know, the work on A, B, and C. But to go back to your analogy about teachers, I believe a lot of teachers actually lack the network to work effectively as teachers. Sometimes they get tunnel vision, I think, in their department. I'm labeled as a industrial arts teacher, social studies teacher. I'm a history teacher, whatever. And then I limit my networking with only those individuals instead of realizing, you know, I've got a plethora of people all around me called other teachers that I can tap into to go in all directions. I think that's the lesson that comes out of the book for me.
Yeah, I got that. There's a variety of people out there who have skills who are very useful.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's not the way of saying. Who become a good resource is a better way of looking at it. And tapping into their backgrounds for their ideas. I thought, again, that's one of the reasons I liked that was you use that out of the box, different way of looking at things. You know, the other thing I got out of this was don't be afraid of failure. You know, you can learn a lot from screwing something up. You know, again, I was putting stuff in my van. There was a lot of times that things didn't quite go right, but you learn from the experience to go, oh, well, don't do that again. Or what if we do this instead? You know?
But you know what? I got to be honest with you. When you're working with 12 volts, you can make a lot of mistakes. If you're working with 220, you don't want to take that route.
You'll do what?
It says that if you're comfortable making mistakes, don't take up parachuting.
You can do that once. You know.
Yeah, there are certain, you know, that philosophy has certain limits in my mind. You know, it sounds good, but wait a minute. You know, you're working with explosives. You're working with a lot of nitrogen and, you know, a lot of combustibles at the very high end. You don't want to do a lot of out-of-the-box thinking sometimes. You're going to have to go through the process of checking a lot of protocols. Well, and those are the things I'm not getting through that book, you know?
Well, having served 4 years on minesweepers, there was an old saying, it says any ship can be a minesweeper one time.
There you go, you know. You don't want to go out of the box thinking and says, gee, I wonder what happens if I hit it with a hammer and see if it all explodes.
Oops.
That's what I'm saying. Like, yeah, you don't want those oops in there, you know. So that's the point I thought about this book. Yeah, you know. There's a limit to how far you can go with this out-of-the-box thinking in some circles.
But I know for me, work in my little world, it was very helpful. It's just a way of introducing a new way of thinking, you know. One of the things I got out of it, I can go to Dollar Tree and get me a 2x4 sheet of foam board, which is a whole lot cheaper to cut up than wood. And if you goof up, you go, oops, I'll go out and get another sheet of 2x4 foam board. It's a whole lot cheaper than going out and buying a 4x8 sheet of plywood. Yeah.
But I still go back to what I said originally. You need a network. You need a network. And that's the part I don't get out of the book. I think from the very beginning, I think he should have acknowledged that. And by the same token, I think a lot of people don't have a network. I mentioned that already. They need to build one, whether it be through materials. You have a network of books you read, given your subject matter, but you also need people. Yeah. And the more diversified it is that you can bank off ideas off of them, I think it does open up a lot of areas of creativity. I think the world of being a rocket scientist, especially when there was no rockets, you know, beginning back with the early beginnings of actually in the backyard of JPL and also in Germany, you know, they had to be very open-ended thinkers to come up with a lot of ideas. And there are fields that still hold true, but there's some areas, especially you being an electronics teacher, you well know that, you know, you're governed by the laws of electricity and resistors. You can't just over jump and, you know, create something brand new. You've got to go through the process.
I say you can do it once.
So that's my critique on the book, you know, that I think that there isn't enough heavy emphasis on having to create a network and maintaining that, working within a network. But yeah, that you both have to be creative, but you also have to fit the parameters of science, if you will, or, you know, the specs that you're working with. I mean, that's very clear cut, very mathematical. And again, I don't get that from the book. So, but I'm getting stuck a lot on that alone. But, you know, as you know, I do a lot of presentations on the world of espionage. So I took the title and I scratched it out one day and I thought, think like a spy. And that took me a totally whole different direction. So I credit the title for that. But then I started doing that and I realized that opened a whole new door for me. And I started, you know, channeling a lot of resources and time and networking in that area. So I've got to admit that the book really helped me to start thinking along those lines.
Well, I'm a firm believer in like you said earlier, all books have a value.
Yes.
Maybe leveling the table or keeping the door open, but they all have a I enjoyed it. There was parts of it I had to kind of walk away and come back in a day or two and rethink what I just read. But, it was, again, and I'm not saying anything bad about the author's book, but it's not bad for a book I found on the Dollar Tree clearance rack, you know?
I agree. I mean, the price of the book isn't the essential part for me. It was just the idea that once he did that, once he failed to acknowledge the network, I had trouble sort of nudging my way through it, thinking all along, this is more like a story about himself and what he's done. And it's not, there's no such a thing. There's people working networks, large or small. But, I think the movie, what's that movie with Tom Hanks that he's on the island by himself?
Oh, Castaway.
Castaway. I think that one movie is probably a top managerial movie that people should watch. You know, what happens when you're trying to do everything by yourself, when all the responsibilities land down on you by yourself? You know, it gets very confusing. We take advantage of many systems and many people who do many things that we're not conscious of, but I didn't create electricity, or I don't provide it, or all the infrastructure so that this light goes on, and the creating of the software so that we can use this program.
Which again is part of the learning curve, is I'm doing something I've never done before, or done now the second time, and you learn from the mistakes, hopefully get better.
But we have to credit the people that created the system that allows us to put this together.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We're getting a little short of time. So who would you recommend the book to if you had to recommend it to somebody? Kind of a loaded question.
No. I'm not sure I would. I'm not sure I would recommend it to anyone. Again, because if it's specifically rocket scientists, I do know some. I've been with astronauts. But I think they would find this sort of talking to the choir, the aspect. Yeah. But I think if we look at the idea beyond what they're saying and ask ourselves, okay, what can we apply from here for other fields? I think there's a lot of positive material. But to recommend the book itself, I wouldn't do it.
Okay.
I'm not comfortable doing that. But I do thank you for sharing the book with me and inviting me to be on the show and look at it and say, and be able to say on the show, it's okay. I think this book doesn't fit what I would want to do, and be happy with that and still say there's a benefit in reading.
Yeah. Well, again, my goal was, as I read it, I know it helped me solve my problems in my little world.
You're a rocket scientist. Give me a break.
Yeah. Well, my goal was, again, I thought it was interesting, worth sharing, or at least making it available to somebody who maybe they have a problem and they just need something to nudge them in a direction to do.
Yeah, it did.
And if nothing else, put it on the table to help level it, keep the door open.
I don't know. I may read it 10 years from now and go back and then extract a lot of more positive things on it. But at this moment, it didn't fit. It was not a match for me. My mind is more on the espionage worlds, but we're all necessarily on the same level, but reading is always a pleasure.
Okay. Mr. Sanchez, if somebody wanted to get a hold of you, sir, how would they do that?
Oh, thank you. afsanchez66@gmail.com.
And more time, sir, please.
Sure. afsanchez66@gmail.com.
Okay. Anybody wanting to get a hold of me, the best way is my email, oscssw@juno.com. oscssw@juno.com. Feel free to shoot me a question. It may take me a day or two to answer, but I'm more than happy to. I put this out there not because I'm making any money or trying to get anything. It's just I'm trying to share a piece of information with people, and and put it out there and let them decide what they're going to do with it.
It's a learning curve. And this book, like all other books, you know, help us think. What, there's tidbits of positive information in here for me.
Yeah.
And, you know, I look forward to doing another book review with you.
Okay. Well, with that, ladies and gentlemen, if you have any questions or anything, you can reach me through my email, oscssw@juno.com. I'm on Facebook at S3 Productions 1. I'm on Blog Talk Radio. And I, you'll have to email. I don't have that. I'm having a brain fade. Sorry about that. And I'm also up on YouTube. Just do a search for DC Han and I'll turn up someplace.
As a rocket scientist as well.
Yeah.
I credit you for that as well.
Yeah. Anyway, so with that, Mr. Sanchez, again, thank you very much for being here. And I hope to put this up on YouTube in the next couple of days and possibly Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you very much. It was my pleasure to be your guest.
So with that, ladies and gentlemen, I say thank you very much and y'all have a great day.